In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is right after Ascension, right? Ascension was just on Thursday, and this is the Saturday after Ascension. We have one more Sunday tomorrow, and then the next week is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this gospel speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but I think it also speaks about baptism, speaks about the fruits of baptism. Of course, it doesn't mention baptism in it, but when you read the scriptures, everything kind of comes together. And indeed, what we are going to do today, baptizing James and Agapia and Joanna, is to bring them to be able to fulfill the words that were spoken in the gospel today. They're really immensely, indescribably beautiful words. We cannot speak of them with any language and actually describe their meaning. It's not possible. The only way to know these words is to live them. And the Christian life is an experienced religion. God reveals himself to us. We then reveal ourselves to God. And God then comes into our heart, abides with us. The Comforter is with us. The Spirit of truth. And we learn to live in truth. Now, living in truth is something that is very uncommon in our day. If you see any particular problem in the world, and they just come one after the other, you'll see that they are encountered without truth. There might be some small amount of truth, but then there is this immense amount of falsehood and anger and strange ideas and delusional thinking. It happens all the time. We can see it in this pandemic that we're in the middle of. Look at all the things that are said about it. It's impossible for even a tenth of the things that are said about it to be true. Look at the terrible incident that just recently occurred in Minneapolis, where a man was killed. He was murdered by people who didn't care enough about a human life. Now, why exactly they did what they did, God knows. But look what happens after this. There's this terrible thing, and there could be truth. There could be speaking of that this is a terrible thing and that our society has fostered this kind of thing, not only by racial relations, but also by our penchant for immorality and killing babies in the womb and all the rest of it. And instead, or not instead, but alongside, because there are people who say that, alongside, there's pillaging and burning. There's no truth in the world. There's only truth in God. And you, James and Agapia and Joanna, are going to be given the opportunity to live in truth. And living in truth is just not just what you know, it's also who you are. And who you are determines what you do, what you think, what is important to you. It's everything. Who you are is the critical question. Who are you? The question about Jesus was answered by John multiple times. Who is he? He read the other gospels and was aware of the preaching of the apostles and everything else. And he saw, because of his spiritual vision, that what was missing in the other gospels was an explication of who Jesus is. That was his primary motivation. So much so that he didn't really care too much about chronology and other things. He cared about showing us who Jesus is. Because who Jesus is the one who became like us so that we would become like him. So he speaks all the time about that. And in this gospel, he speaks about that. But in speaking about that, he really describes the things that are now possible for you, or will be in a moment. For God, it's already happened. For us, it will happen in an hour and a half or so. These things that are possible for you because of baptism. So he speaks to them. This is Jesus in his discourse to the Jews. The words which I speak to you, I speak not from myself, but the Father who abideth in me, he doeth the works. Keep on believing me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, keep on believing me on account of the works themselves. And he tells us then something very important that is true for you. It's true for anyone who's baptized. No matter how difficult your life is, no matter what you're doing right or wrong, you have this potential within yourself to do this. He says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the one who believeth in me, the works which I do, shall that one do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now he's speaking there of going to his Father, because in going to his Father, he would then, after the ascension, send the Holy Spirit to abide in us, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. So the works which you do, they are a testimony to the one who lives within you. This is something that was not well understood by Calvin and all the rest of them. They didn't understand this. And way before that, the Latins had problems with this idea for a long time and made Christianity to be a legal definition, sort of a legal contract. It's not a legal definition or a legal contract. It is that the Holy Spirit abides within us, and then out of that Holy Spirit, out of our belly comes forth the Holy Spirit, the clean rushing water, and we are able to do the works of God. We are able to follow the commandments. We are able to become true. The greatest lie that anyone ever tells is the lie they tell to themselves. When they lie about who they are, when they lie about what is important, when they overlook their sins, when they make excuses for themselves. That's the greatest lie anyone tells. And the Holy Spirit is coming to abide in you today so that you can learn of those lies and you can expunge those lies with God's help, because you can't do anything without God's help. Expunge those lies from your life. And when you do, then there will be works. And those works will testify to you that God is working in you. Christianity is an experienced religion. It is not a doctrinal religion where there are doctrines you must hold to in order to be a Christian. It is experience. Now, we hold to the doctrines because we experience them. But it's not the other way around. It's not like we believe the doctrines and therefore we are saved. It is we live the doctrines. The doctrines are given to you so that you know them in your heart by how you live. And when you experience God, then no one can take this away from you. No matter what happens in the world, no one can take this experience of God away from you. And this is what will happen to you if you fulfill the baptism, the promise of baptism today, that you will do works of God. You will have the experience of God in your heart. Not in such a way that you can say, "I believe such and such," but that "I know such and such." As much as I know that my heart beats within my chest, I know that God lives within me and helps me. Now, with the baptism is the sending of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit historically was sent to the entire church on Pentecost, so in a few days. Today, the Holy Spirit will be sent to each one of you. It will be sent to you so that the Holy Spirit will abide in you and will teach you about truth. Don't shy away from this. Now, this lesson about truth, it's not an easy lesson. It's a very difficult lesson. Not all the time. Sometimes it's a lesson that is just very beautiful and very wonderful. I hear that lesson all the time when I take care of my grandsons. There's something profoundly holy about being around children and recognizing their ways. Not all the time. Not when they're not having, when they're fighting over their toys or something else. But their fundamental character is closer to God than we are. And I see that. I think you all see that when you take care of children. You see that in your children. There's a certain holiness and beautiful nature of children that we are responsible now for taking that beautiful nature and helping to mold it to something that is perfected. So this is what's happening to you now. You will be children. You'll be new children, new creatures. And you have that capability now to become complete and full of light. What a beautiful thing. This gospel really is, to me, all about baptism. It's about the fruits of baptism. So Jesus said, you'll know me by the works. You will know God by your works. Not because any of your works predispose God to being more kind to you. Not at all. You will know God by your works because you will see God working within you. And it doesn't have to be some sort of great, stupendous thing. If your heart can be quiet, that is a work. If you can forgive someone, that is a great work. If you can pray for your brother, that is a great work. These are the great works that Jesus is speaking of, not of raising the dead and of being able to have an 8-hour prayer rule and all the rest. These are internal works, which are the most important. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The purpose of your baptism is so that you could keep the commandments of God. Not because that is the end itself. That's not the end itself. That is the process by which you become perfected so that you can know God and know all truth. I speak about this often. It's really, I spoke about it before my son died, but now I think about it every day. And it comes up in conversations and in preaching just constantly. In this world, there's pain, there's sadness, there's difficulty, there's confusion, there's delusion. But in the next world, all of that's gone. There's no pain, there's no sickness or sorrow or sign in the next world. There will be only truth. We will know only truth. Now, whether or not we know of our past, I think we do. But how can it be that we can know the past things that happened in our life that were terrible and not feel that terrible pain? I tell you by experience, I cannot think of my son's death and not feel pain. It just has never happened. I can have joy from certain aspects of what has occurred since his death, absolutely. But there still is that stab every time. But in the next life, there won't be. How can this be? Because the Holy Spirit can do what he wishes. In the Great Canon, which I think everyone should read over and over again, not just during Great Lent, there's a line that St. Andrew says, and God can do whatever he wishes. And he can. He can make you perfected. How it's going to happen, we have no idea. We just participate in his grace and feel his grace surging within us, the wellsprings of the Holy Spirit coming out of our belly, giving us life and giving other people life. This is what will happen to you today. You begin that process. Don't be afraid of the truth being revealed to you. It will not always be easy, but it will be good. Always the truth is good. Many times people don't consider the truth to be good. They run from the truth, and it causes them all kinds of problems, sometimes for all of their life. Dysfunctional things in their life because they cannot really apprehend the truth. It's just too painful to them. But I tell you, since God is truth, truth must be good. So when the truth is revealed to you, it will always be to the good if you accept the truth with a humble spirit and with a desire to change. You have that ability now after your baptism, and glory be to God that you do. It's a glorious and beautiful day to be able to bring a fallen human being into the water, to raise them up, for them to be a new creature, to be able to apprehend all truth. That's what's happening today. Glory be to God. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.